Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
You're a bum.
Hey.
Yeah.
Making fun of bums. Bad karma thing to do.
You are a bum.
Making fun of bums.
It's not a nice thing to do.
You're a bum. And that's all you'll ever be, a bum.
Oh, man, some things just make me smile. It's like an involuntary response when you hear things like that. Les is famous, bum of the week. We're going to get into bum of the year here as well. I am Mark Rohde. This is the Les Grobstein. We lost you a year ago yesterday, Memorial Show, and we are working on this, bum of the year. My next guest, John Greenberg, and I started talking, I don't know, like a couple of months back about potentially doing a bum of the year. We didn't know exactly how we would do it. Would it be something that John would just write or something that I would talk about on the radio? And it turns out that we get a chance to do both, because in The Athletic yesterday, and it's up right now on theathletic.com and John Greenberg's Twitter and my Twitter, bum of the year candidates. And those are just our suggestions. Tony La Russa, Jerry Reinsdorf, Tom Ricketts, Brett Favre, and Aaron Rodgers are the ones that you can vote on. And you can continue to do it. And we're going to get an update here in a second. But, yeah, you can continue to do it. And if you'd like to call during this segment or any time throughout the overnight to give your vote for Bum of the Year, and it doesn't have to be one of those, please feel free to do that at 312-644-6767. Now, Greenberg, he's my fellow Les Grobstein scholar. What I am to talking about Les, John is writing about Les, so we do share that in common. And you know what? You're kind of like my grobber soulmate, man.
That's the saddest. It's all very sad, everyone. Yes, no. I mean, listen, I think we appreciate the finer things in life and sports media. And we, you know, we appreciate grobber. And, you know, there's a lot of us out there. You know, not everyone wants to admit it like us, but there's a lot of grobber aficionados in the media. One of my favorite stories is I was pulling out of the United Center one night late at night after writing a column. And I'm turning on the grobber, and I'm like, who is this crazy old guy talking to him? And I'm listening. It's an entertaining conversation, usual classic grobber caller. And it was Tellender. It was Rick Kellender who had left the game before me, and he was on the phone with him. Yeah, our buddy
funny.
Nick, a younger one, Nick Friedel, who's always up late. Nick is a major Grauber fan.
Oh, nice.
Nick would just sit and listen. It wasn't, you know, for any laughs or to tell the producers what, you know, what Grauber said. I mean, it was like Nick just liked staying up late and listening to Les.
I think some of the best Grauber conversations were, though, with guys like Rick Tellender or David Schuster. Like when Schuster would just jump on after a Cubs game and they spoke the language, right, John?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, obviously Schuster liked to give Les a lot of grief. You know, that was part of their relationship.
Sure.
So those calls were fun, but I actually really liked calls where Schuster was in a good mood. You know, must have been a quick game.
And
Schuster and him would just talk, instead of like Schuster needling Les about stuff, they would just talk about like games they've seen and athletes they've seen. And it was kind of like, and Les would relax a little bit. And it was just those two guys, giving people a history of the city. And I think that was one of the reasons why, I mean, listen, Les wasn't like, you aren't going to hear a lot of new news from Les. Like, you're not going to have a lot of new opinions on players of today. But that's not what he was there for. You know, you got all the day shows for that, right? Les was there to, you know, talk about the old days, to give his, you know, to rip on the Packers. And, you know, you could, like, if you're an up-and-coming sports journalist, like, you could have learned a lot by listening to Les about the history of the city and the history of sports.
That's such a great point that people who were maybe, like, I don't want to say new to Chicago or new to sports radio, whatever. You're right. Like, he reminded you that there are many, well, I don't know if significant, but there are many things, significant things that happened in the past, that happened in the 70s and 80s that young fans should probably know about. And if nothing else, they're going to be really interested to know about some of that stuff.
100%. I mean, obviously the one we all go to is the Lee Elia rant. But that's a famous moment, you know, in sports history, not just Chicago history. And, you know, and Les was known, obviously, for taping that. And, you know, one thing I really appreciate after he passed away, I don't, like, watch – PTI was, you know, once my favorite show. I mean, I loved it. I don't have a chance to really sit and watch it anymore with, you know, other responsibilities. But I had it on, and they started talking about Les. And Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon, two of the most famous sports writers in the country – they did like a full 2 minutes on Les, you know, and mostly it was led by Wilbon, of course, because he's from here. And then Kornheiser made like this really great point about how in every market in the country, there were guys like Les that were like hustling sound, you know, the guys that had their microphone in people's faces and they sold it. And Kornheiser's like, you know, before the internet and 24/7 cable news, he's like, if you wanted to hear quotes from a game, it was a guy like Les giving them to someone on the radio. And I thought that really put Les beyond the overnight show. That put Les in the context of sports journalism. So, I mean, listen, like I told people, you know, I mean, this is like when our good friend Jeff Dickerson passed away a little before Les, and that was obviously extremely, extremely sad. Something still kind of shakes me up. Mm-hmm. But I told people that, you know, for most of us, if we pass away, we're not going to get these kind of send-offs that, you know, Les – And JD did, you know, because they're just, you know, they're special guys, and it was very, very sad to lose them both, you know, kind of back to back like that.
Yeah, it was devastating. You know, like you just started to deal with one, and then the other punch comes. So yeah, I mean, I'm glad you brought up Jeff Dickerson's name because I know Les and Jeff knew each other very well and appreciated each other.
I talked with Les about it in the press box because we had that one Bears game after Jeff passed that we still had to go to, and Les and I were talking about it in the press box that day, you know, and he just was very sad about it. Like, so yeah, I mean, I still remember when I checked my phone in the morning and someone's like, hey, can you come on to talk about Les? And I'm like, what?
Oh, wow.
And I had to like, you know, immediately scroll through through Twitter. Yeah.
Oh man, so that's how you find out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just I would say, like, Les's death was surprising and unsurprising. You know what I mean? It's like,
right,
it's surprising because none of us said, I didn't know he was sick and all that. But then, you know, he led this lifestyle, you know, that was just crazy.
And he had a full, and he had, you know, unlike JD, you know, who passed away with his young son and after losing his wife, you know, Les lived. I mean, I know 69 is too young, but, you know, Les lived a full life. He saw a lot of things. He you know, really accomplished his goals of being, you know, big sports guy in town. And, you know, so you kind of celebrate that a little more.
Absolutely. And before we get to the main event here with John Greenberg from The Athletic, I'm Mark Rohde. We're celebrating Les Grobstein. The main event is the bum of the year, which we'll talk about here. But really quickly, because I'm going to forget, and I had a couple people wondering the same thing, and I don't have the exact answer to it. What is your history with Les? I mean, you mentioned that you just turned him on one day, or like how long do you go back with Les as in a relationship?
Well, you know, I think it was just that, you know, moving here and work. I started working in Chicago in 2003. And he wasn't on the radio then. I think he was still doing his, like, all, you know, little side gigs at that point. So he was just like that character, you know, you see in the press box every day in the clubhouse. Yes. And, you know, and then I remember I read the Chicago Reader story. Because people talk about the stories I wrote, but there's a story written in the Chicago Reader. And I know the guy's name, and I can't think of it right now because he's a famous journalist. But he wrote this great, 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 long feature on Les, and this was when he had the first overnight show, you know, that before he lost that and then was kind of in the wilderness for a little bit. So it was the first overnight show, and it was kind of the history of Les, and that's kind of when I wrote a story. I based that off that story, so that made me interested in him more than just like this, you know, goofball in the press box in the clubhouse with his old microphone, you know, reading that story like really kind of humanized him.
Yes.
And then yeah, then I would start listening to him on the overnights. You know, once he started doing the overnights again, when Mitch went to the Score and Mitch hired him, I forget what year it was, to start doing overnights again. And when I would cover a game, you know, that's when I listen to the radio, is when I'm in the car. So
sure.
When I covered a game, I would, you know, would turn him on afterwards. I was always so happy about it. It was such a goofy, fun show that, like, you know, he wasn't trying to be ironic about it. There's no irony in the show.
No, there was never a tiny drop of irony, not from Les.
And I loved it because, you know, the callers would have to let Les go. Yeah, it's like, all right, Les, I gotta leave. You know, he's trying to kill all this time.
I gotta let you go. So, okay, one more question for you, Bob, and then I'll let you go. Who's your top 10 favorite Cubs of all time? Go.
And then, you know, with The Athletic, I was trying to do more sports media features. So I asked them if I could do the show one day and come in and interview them.
I
think I interviewed them before. Yeah. And I sat in to like, oh man, I was there till like 3:30. I was leaving when Hanley was coming back and they were just like, he was like, what are you doing here?
Oh my God.
So, you know, I wrote this and he was so excited for the, you know, for the stories, calling me, when's this coming out? You know, when are you almost done? You know, I want to post it on Grobber.net. Grobber.net or whatever.
Yeah, Grobber.net. Get it right.
Grobber.net. Right. So, like, yeah, and it was great. And people loved it. You know, and that's the thing. Like, when I published it, everyone was so excited about it because, you know, it just showed. And I think his family, I remember his sister I talked to, was like, I don't want to say she was surprised, but I think pleasantly surprised that, like, how much reaction a lot of this got. You know, because I think, you know, everyone looks at him as just this character. But, you know, to see how famous he really was. And like I said, go to, I mean, he's on PTI. They give him 2 minutes. They don't do that for everyone that passes away.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he touched a lot of people, man. And I'm glad that people are interested in keeping his spirit alive. And that's pretty obvious. I haven't even gotten to the text line, but it is overheating with stuff about Les and appreciating the Score overnight and not hearing a national talk show right now. So,
God, I hate when I hate the national stuff. I'm sorry.
I mean,
some people can do it, but like, yeah, you can't do this job. You're a normal person. I mean, it's either got to be for like, you know, producers on their way up that are just going to split it.
Yep.
But even then, it would never have the character it would with. There's no way to replace Les.
No, there isn't.
It's just impossible. So
yeah,
someone who can actually do the show is from a technical standpoint and be just like a ridiculous person.
Remind me, we got to do the bum of the year stuff right now. But remind me to ask you the question, and if I forget, then I'll bring it up later anyway. But would, just keep this in the back of your head. Would Les have liked Justin Fields? Just keep that in the back of your mind. I have an idea of that, so we'll discuss that here too. I want to run that past you, but. Bum of the year is going down to, I know we got a bunch of people on hold right now too at 312-644.
Oh, yeah.
6767. And John, why don't you give the candidates that we came up with and where things, if you can, tell us where things stand right now on the online poll, which is still, I assume is still going right now, correct?
Yes. I know on my computer in front of me, it's still going. Last I checked, just before I got on the call, it was just under 2,000 votes. And I had sent you a screenshot.
Yes.
And it's there's not too many more votes since I sent that to you, because that was around midnight.
Okay.
But Tony La Russa is the clear leader.
Okay.
I mean, he's been the clear leader since, like, you know, started off early with Favre was number one, but then La Russa, once people started noticing it, and especially White Sox Twitter type people.
So
La Russa's the clear leader with probably like 33%, I would say, right now.
Okay.
And then it's Jerry Reinsdorf. Is number two.
Okay.
And then it goes to Brett Favre, number three.
Okay.
Tom Ricketts, four. And then Aaron Rodgers, five. I thought Rodgers would do better.
Wow. Yeah.
You know? I thought he would do better. It's like you said, maybe it's too topical. He's too new.
He's too new.
Listen, when you and I first came up with candidates, LaRusso was the first guy we both said.
Oh, right.
But and when I brought up to other people, they said La Russa first as well.
I'm a little bit conflicted on La Russa, though, because there is a distinct possibility. I don't remember if I shared this with you at Alice Hall. There's a distinct possibility that Les would have liked La Russa a lot and would have sort of looked past all of his errors, because La Russa, or Les, had a thing for the 80s and probably had a relationship with Tony La Russa, probably would have loved the hire. I know he's a good guy, and I know a lot of people don't like him, but that doesn't matter. I know him, and I like him, and he's a good guy. I don't care what people say.
La Russa mean to Les once in, like, 1983 and hated him ever since?
Wait a minute. I've been told by Sean Sears we've got that audio. What audio are you speaking of, Mr. Sears?
You're talking about the Tony La Russa Dave Stewart thing, right?
Oh, no, but we could definitely play that if you'd like. Have you ever heard Greenberg Les doing the Dave Stewart impersonation?
And no.
Dave Stewart's, oh my goodness, my friend. Sean, go ahead and play that for Mr. Greenberg.
After the game, we go into Tony La Russa's office. I asked the first question. I said, "How is he?" He says, "Rather terse, I don't know." And the late Bob Glass said, "Boy, it must have been pretty scary to," and he didn't even get any more words out of mouth. And all of a sudden La Russa screaming, "I don't want to talk about that bull bleep." And then Bob Glass responded with, "Okay, but don't yell at me." And La Russa goes, "I'll bleeping yell at you if I bleeping want to." And Bob Glass says, "Well, then I'll yell back." And then La Russa says, "Well, then that's the end of the interview. You're acting like a newborn that's just been born or whatever." And I guess a newborn was just born, right? Bob Glass, he didn't back down. He says, "Don't be that way. Be a man." And La Russa starts screaming again, "Be a man. The bleep, bleep, bleep guy is on the ground, blah, blah, blah." And it was unbelievable. And that's when Dave Stewart, with his high-pitched voice, starts screaming, "What are you talking about, being a man, you bleep, bleeper?" And then about a minute later, he goes over to Glass and says, "Don't you ever bring your ass in here again." The next day, Glass was supposed to be off. He was supposed to be off the next day. The late Joe Mushel, who was in charge of the AP, he says, "You better get out there. You can't not be there the next day." So Glass went up to La Russa to try to soothe things over. And La Russa says, "I don't want to talk to you. I don't even want to see you. You basically questioned my manlyhood." And this was a day later. And a couple of other people were trying to ask La Russa, "How can you think that he did that on purpose when it forced in the go-ahead run?" And he says, "You ask me that question again, we're going to go at it right here." I mean, come on now. Give me a break.
Don't you ever bring your ass back in here.
Oh, John, there are so many angles to, and I am now convinced now after listening to the tape, I don't think Les would have been a fan of Tony La Russa.
Well, he was, there must be sound. He was on the air still when La Russa got hired.
That's true. We could probably do some digging and find out.
I guarantee, I bet he, you know, because he's filling time, he probably just made both sides of the argument just to fill a show.
that's definitely what happened, yes.
Right. So, listen, he would have hated this year, though. I mean, can you imagine him on the air after some of the, when La Russa, you know, with the intentional walk, he would have went nuts about that.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, some of the that would have kept him going all night, too. But,
unbelievable.
I was a little surprised that, what do you say, Ricketts was in fourth on the list?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I guess Ricketts, it wasn't like the worst year. It was just people have just been mad at him for the past few years.
Yeah, I guess you don't necessarily identify immediate anger with Ricketts, or maybe not from Grauber's perspective. But
I don't think he would have liked what he said, like, you know, that Ricketts still won't get over the Sammy stuff. I feel like that would have bothered him.
Yeah, I think you're right. That would have bothered him.
The Favre thing he would have went nuts about. Brett Fraud, I mean, he would have went nuts about the Favre welfare stuff.
Oh, my God. This guy, he's a fraud, and he's a phony, and I told you, he's a bad guy. And any of you people from Milwaukee, if you want to call and say anything else, I'll hang up on you. That's what he would have said.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, dude, let's take some calls. You ready for some calls, brother?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
We start with Ron on the South Side. Ron, you're on Bum of the Week on the Scorer Overnight Grauber Show with Mark Grody and John Greenberg.
Hey, guys, look here. Brett Favre, hands down.
Oh, yeah.
The beauty of Les, he could take you back to any game. I would call him and say, Les, what about that White Sox game, the Chili Hot Dog game, 72, and he set it up for you.
Yeah.
Sparky Lyle and Dick Allen came in. But any game that you thought he took, it's like going back watching a movie. And it was like he just described it from the day before. But, guys, I have to give my special comment about Les. Les, I was a big Sox fan. So, 2000, Kimberly, he said, hey, Ron, Milwaukee, they opened up a new ballpark. He said, why don't you be my guest and we'll go up to the Sox game? Now, at that time, guys, I was coaching my son in Little League, and I always took him to baseball. I said, Les, is it possible that you can get a ticket for my son? He said, yeah. But Grody, you mentioned it earlier, intimacy. I've been listening to him all night. So he said, Ryan, we're going to meet at a certain location. He said, and I'm going to drive them. Guys, I had never met him. And when I got in the car with him, it was like I had been knowing him my entire life. So I waited to say this because I feel very special that Les invited me to a game. And I had a chance, so you can imagine. I'm in the car with Les. We talk about everything, guys. Not just sports, but I love Les. And again, guys, when I say with Les, I like to bring my son. My son turned 30 yesterday, and you know he still remembers that he was that. We went to the game and had a wonderful time. So that will always stick with me, guys. So thanks for letting me make that comment, but simply the best.
Thanks, Ron. Who'd you vote for Bum of the Year?
Favre.
Oh, it was Favre. That's right. I got you.
That was a great call, man. What a great call. Thanks, Ron.
Yeah, thanks, Ron. What'd you think of that, man?
Oh, that was – I mean, it's so sweet. What like a nice – I just can't imagine. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just such a nice little story. There's not much to say about it. It's just great.
Yeah. Well, I love too when he said, Les, like with the the detail and like he was just like he was there, like, because that was less. It'd be like he wouldn't just give you who was up. It'd be like,
I know, right?
Rudy Law's on deck right now, and Dick McGregor was in the hole, or some other name that sounded right. Made up, you know.
Right, and the thing about Les is if he didn't remember the game you're talking about, he might just make up something about it.
100%. 100%. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, I remember that. And then quickly get on to something else that he did. Let's go to Tom. My guy, Tom, longtime Grobber listener. Tom in Algonquin. What's up, buddy?
Oh, thank you so much for the show tonight.
Sure, Tom.
Mark and Cheryl. She's here this time. I got my
okay. So Cheryl, is she your girlfriend or is she your wife?
She's in the house.
She's in the house.
She's my girl, just like Kathy was.
Yeah.
Well,
that's.
And I just want to say this.
Yes.
First time I heard from Kathy. I know Mark did the ceremony at Les's passing, and I missed it, but I never heard Kathy speak. Maybe she had to take a deep breath and get away. But hearing her tonight, thank you so much for that. She was so lovely. She was so lovely.
She really was. Do you have a bum of the year candidate that you'd like?
Yeah.
Who would Les? Yeah, who?
Roquan Smith.
Oh, okay.
Wow. All right.
Why Roquan, man?
Roquan, he disrupted the entire season from mini camps to stuff that people maybe don't think is important. And I don't know, I didn't really hear Wani talk about it that much, but
right.
I know Wani was big on mini camps, but he disrupted, they said they didn't call him a holdout, they call him a hold in because he did attend stuff. But that was only so he wouldn't lose money. He didn't have an agent. And we should have probably cut bait with him before the season started. But anyway, it's sad and then you got a guy like Montgomery, David Montgomery, same exact years, same exact service time, has a pretty big offense and a pretty big impact on the offensive side of the ball. Roquan had an impact on the defense side of the ball.
Yes, sir.
But that,
yes, sir.
That being said, it's 11-on-11, and the line of scrimmage has a lot to do with it, and a leadership, and a locker room, and all that stuff. And yeah. I'm sorry. Justin Fields, David Montgomery. Well, Justin, he's so much better than anybody even wants to admit.
Good for you, Tom. I wasn't sure what side you were going to land on with that. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate the call. We got you down for Roquan Smith. Why not, huh, Greenberg?
I mean, I can understand why fans would be upset with him. I can't put Roquan on there. But, you know, yeah, that's like a perfect thing for fans to get upset about, right? Like skipping the minicamp, you become a distraction. We're all talking about when's he going to start practicing. That's the stuff, you know, kind of a hardcore sports fan that's, you know, it gets annoyed by. So,
yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't vote Roquan, but I can understand it.
It's the essence. It absolutely is. All right, then that brings me to the question that I teased earlier, and the question was, would Les have liked Justin Fields? You want me to answer first, or you think he would? Okay, go ahead.
I think he would, and I think he would have talked about Bobby Douglas a lot.
Yes. Yes.
I think he would have liked him. What do you think?
I think he would have used Bobby Douglas as an example. I think he would have been like, I think he would have liked Justin Fields, but I believe he would have protected the heritage guys like Bobby Douglas and Vince Evans. He like, well, people say they've never seen a guy run like this. Well, I saw Bobby Douglas play, and a lot of people don't even remember Vince Evans. He could run and throw the ball farther than anybody. So I think he would have taken a little bit of exception to everybody saying he's the greatest, most spectacular. And then he probably would have got into, like, you know, Gale Sayers could, you know, like, I just think he would have protected the history again.
And he would have talked about every pass Walter Payton threw.
Yeah. Yes. The legacy would have been protected. I love it. Yeah, so that's where I stand on that. All right, any other updates here on the bum of the year candidates here?
No, I haven't looked at the vote, but I can't imagine since the last time I've been on my computer, anything's changed. I think
probably not.
It was pretty, you know, at this time of night, I think we're pretty much set that, you know, the people on our vote have said Tony La Russa,
okay,
and then Reinsdorf for empowering Tony La Russa, I would assume, and then Favre, yeah, and then Tom Ricketts, and then we'll go with Aaron Rodgers. Now watch, what's his name? The punter guy is gonna catch wind that we were being mean to Aaron Rodgers, and he's probably going to ask him questions about it.
Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome, man.
He's always on high alert if people are being mean to Aaron Rodgers because that's his big ticket. So, no, I'm kidding. But I think it's La Russa. I mean, and you feel a little bad because he did have health problems at the end of the season. But, yeah. I mean, it was such a disastrous season. It would have been perfect for Les. And I thought about that at times, you know, like, man, Les would have loved this, like, controversy. It felt like every Sox game there's something with him for a while.
Yeah, that he would have, like, had sound effects and all sorts of things for La Russa. It would have been, like, the grobber dunk tank. It would have been great.
Oh, 100%. And, like, there's not a lot of, like, you know, we were thinking about it, like, the athletes, you know. There wasn't a ton this year of bad, you know, I mean, like, obviously, you know, I'm not going to say Roquan, but, like, there's no one in the Bears, really.
Yeah.
Sox, you maybe say Grandal could have been a candidate. Right. So bad.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, like, Bulls, I mean, all as disappointing as they have been, I don't know that there's anybody on that team that stands out as, God, this guy's a bum. I mean, maybe Levine would have gotten some of that, probably.
I think Zach probably would have got some because people are just annoyed with him right now. And he's just, you know, when you get that big deal, you know, he's never going to live up to it. And he wasn't great at the end of last season because he was playing through that knee injury that got operated on. It's tough to say something about a guy who's been injured, but I wonder if Lonzo Ball would have got some.
I was just thinking. I bet he would
have. Played in a year.
I bet he would have because people are sick of hearing his name. They're sick of hearing that he had this. I mean, have you noticed, by the way, that his effect on this team becomes a little bit more powerful every time you hear one of the analysts or anybody that talks Bulls talks about it? Like, my God, Lonzo Ball really had this much of an effect on that
team? Right, I know. And it's like, and his every injury update so depressing. It was like, well, I'm having trouble walking up steps.
Yeah.
They're like, Lonzo's thinking about running soon.
Right, like, he's close. And it's always the caveat's always, but not cleared. Not cleared to walk. You know, he's been cleared for brisk walking, but, you know, it's like, it's just been a horrible update.
Right. It's like, wow, he's really working on crossing the street.
Yeah, like, unassisted.
Right, we're not sure he's got the quick twitch muscles yet to make it across a busy intersection. It's just sad. And I feel bad because we had like one call. We had like a Zoom with them, a couple Zooms with them. Like I think beginning of the season, maybe end of last year, and we were all the reporters were just like, "Man, that was depressing." That was like we weren't making fun of him. We were just like, "Man, I feel bad for this kid." Like he's saying, he seems really down. Like
right.
So, yeah, I mean, that would have got – I'm trying to think who else, if anyone. But, like, yeah, like we said, no one on the Cubs, no one cares.
Yeah, no, yeah, nobody cared about the Cubs. Yeah, I think you're fair with the White Sox candidates. I mean, there has to be somebody beyond Tony La Russa that's responsible for the breakdown of that team. So.
I mean, you know what? He probably would have – he might have gave a little more to the GMs, to Jed Hoyer and Rick Hahn.
Yeah.
They could have got some crossfire from the grobber. I don't know who else would have really got hammered by someone said, and I put this in the story, we didn't put it as a candidate, but the Blackhawks execs
for
the broadcasters, so maybe, just for that, because I'm sure he's very, very protective of them.
Oh my God, dude, I didn't even think about the Eddie Olczyk angle. He would have killed them based just 100% based on Eddie Olczyk. Oh yeah, good call.
And Foley, I mean, he's probably a huge Foley guy,
oh,
I would assume.
Absolutely. Yeah, I assume he was, is.
Yeah, so that way they could have got to, and then, although we know it's a little more complicated than just like, you know, Foley didn't want to do all the games anymore. They knew they were going to have to move on. Yeah. And, you know, Eddie's Eddie. I know there's some issues with Eddie, and like, they should have done everything they could to keep him. You know, is the bottom line of that. Eddie was funny, though, because I remember, like, after it was all done, he was like, you know, he was on the radio with someone. He's like, you know, you got, I'm not going to do a lot of media on this. It's the first I've talked about it. And then he did, like, Eddie did, like, 9 straight interviews for the rest of the day.
Anybody like, Eddie's saying, to listen.
Right. And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to do a lot of media. He's like, yeah, right. He's on, like, every show. He's on B96.
Oh man, that's hilarious!
Yeah. He actually called up Cassie. He actually called up Eric and Cassie separately and just talked to them.
At the score 30th, that's funny because he was out with Molly and Haw that day and he was spilling. And then afterwards, my parents were there. He came up to my parents' table and is telling everything. I'm talking all about it. So it was.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
I'm glad. I hope he felt better. I'm glad he got his side of it out. You know.
Yes, I'm glad he did too. And like. Yeah, Les would have been furious. I mean, just furious the way that went down. Yeah. You know, his those are his people. So, he would not have been happy about a lot. This would have been 2022 is a terrible sports year.
It really
in
is.
Chicago,
it really
and Les would have it would have been a good year for Les to event.
Oh yeah, yeah, he would have been crucial to the overnight. Let's take. I know, like I'm well past. I probably should have let you go to bed by now. But let's take one more bum of the year call, and then we'll spring you. It's Tracy on the South Side. Tracy, what's going on? It's Mark Grody and John Greenberg. How are you?
I'm doing good. My bum of the week is Tony La Russa. And the story that I want to tell you guys is about Les. And I called in, and I had you about 7 years old, and it was a Walter Payton story. And I asked him, what year did Walter Payton run for 275 yards? He told me what year. He told me what team. He told me what quarterback, what defense, who's on the defensive line.
Gave you everything you need.
Down the whole story. So all I said, Les, I got a question for you. What year was it? He said 1977, and they did it against the Minnesota Vikings.
That's awesome.
You probably got more than you bargained for, didn't you?
I got the best story. Just added to now one question out of Les. And another thing that me and Les used to talk about was Pete Rose. He wanted him in the Hall of Fame, and I didn't.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
And that was enough.
That had to be a hardcore clash, I'm sure. Tracy, who is your bum of the year?
Tony La Russa.
Oh, you said it. My producer just asked me to ask you that question, so I blame him for not listening.
I'm sorry. That's on me.
I heard.
Okay, John was listening. Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it, Tracy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Tracy.
Greenberg, I guess we had it right with La Russa because people are hot for La Russa.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, we're you know, you and I are on the – we have our fingers on the pulse of what Grauber and his fans, you know, his fans would want. So, absolutely.
We keep his spirit alive.
Bad. It really persona – and in truth, you know, that La Russa disaster this season really personified 2022 in Chicago sports. Just like,
I mean, is that really a question?
It's a bad year. So, yeah, I think it's pretty fitting.
Could you imagine how relieved the beat writers were like with this one? Because they like the beat writers started to come under fire. I felt like. Because they weren't asking they weren't being angry enough with La Russa, I guess.
Right. So
I think they're pretty relieved, probably.
Yeah, and they had to deal with Tony, you know, and his moods and you know, not answering questions. And sometimes it was good for them though, because it was a story. It wasn't a good story, but it was Tony was the one guy. Like the post game press conference has kind of gone away, not away, but it's not as important as it used to be, especially when you have bad teams.
True.
And Tony made the post-game press conference, like, mandatory again. with the manager.
Yeah, he did.
Because you didn't know what the hell he was going to say when something went wrong. He could blame anything. He could go off on a tangent, and then that becomes like the story for the next day. You know, and especially like you said, then people are, you know, complaining that he's not getting enough questions because it's, you know, it's gotten so late at night that like people just, you know, the stories have to be filed before then, you know, there's just not a lot of necessity to being at the post game all the time. But yeah, it became something even I had to go to as a columnist, neo-columnist. We like to leave early. So Pedro Grifol, I don't think is going to have the same mandatory presence.
No, I don't think so. Talk about like the most nondescript hire in Chicago managerial history. Like people forget. Like I had a White Sox fan friend of mine I was out with for dinner last week, and he actually forgot his name. He's like, oh, whatever his name is, Pedro, what? Because, you know, after the wave of getting to know him during his press conference, it's like now I don't feel like I know anything about Pedro Grifol.
But you have to listen to Shane's. His bourbon and a buddy interview that he was touting.
That's right.
You know what's funny is I teach a class at DePaul, and I gave a quiz on Chicago sports the other day, and no one got Grifol. I said, who's the White Sox manager? Literally one of the questions. And one guy, I said to him, I go, you told me you're a Sox fan. He goes, yeah, but I'm not that big of a fan.
Right. Yeah. No, like he's going to have to really – make himself stand up. But you're right, man. I mean, for sure, La Russa was the first, you know, much-watched post-game press conferences since Ozzy, and haven't been a lot of those. Well, I guess for winning there has been on the north side, but not quite the characters. Dude, I got to go. Sean is going to kill me if I don't take the break right now. But thank you for appreciating Les the way you do, and I know how you appreciate him. You know he's a character, but you're one of the people that, you know, respects him to the core as well.
Absolutely. We need more characters in this world, you know, so
we do. Yep.
Any of you budding characters out there, keep it going.
Yeah, call this show, as a matter of fact.
Right. All right. Thanks, Grody.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later. That is John Greenberg from The Athletic. You should read his columns over there, theathletic.com. I subscribe. You should, too. And you could check out what we were just talking about, the Bum of the Year candidates, La Russa, Reinsdorf, Ricketts, Brett Favre, and Aaron Rodgers, if you would like to vote online. You can go to John Greenberg's Twitter, my Twitter. John is at John_Greenberg. I am at Mark Grody Sports, and you know theathletic.com if you want to find it there as well. We're just getting cooking here on Score Overnight as we continue to memorialize the great Les Grobstein. And coming up next is another guy who was a huge fan of Les and I think local sports radio in general. He is Mark Potash, the Bears writer for the Sun-Times. I'll sneak in some Bears.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As well, coming up next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more of the Score Overnight Special, remembering Les Grobstein. Here's another classic Grobber moment on The Score.
Everything in Elk Grove Village is great.
Awesome.
You know, Elk Grove Village sponsors the Bahamas Bowl football game that is coming up in the next couple of days. Mayor Johnson worked out a deal a few years ago. They literally sponsor that bowl game.
Wasn't that your nickname in college, Mayor Johnson? You know what I'm saying?
No. I know what you're saying, and I'm not going there.
Okay.
I know exactly what you meant.
Fair enough. Like a Coke can, folks. Welcome back in. I'm Mark Grody, the voice of our friend Les Grobstein as well. My association with Les Grobstein began as a listener. You know, I was a – I'm 51, so just to give you the age range that you're dealing with when I'm talking to you, so you just know what ages I was when I was watching certain things. And, yeah, I was a huge Cubs fan as a kid. You know, essentially my sports consciousness was late 70s and then the 80s, you know? So you had – and I was a massive Cubs fan, and you had the Cubs having that unbelievably magical 1984 season – when they won the division for the first time in 39 years, when it was a huge deal to win your division. And it was a big deal, and it was a big deal for the losers that were the Cubs up until 1984. So I was kind of like, that was my sports obsession. Like that, I loved the Cubs, man, and everything about it. And I knew all that stuff, like all that minutia. Like I think about all those guys, like when I was a kid, like Steve Ontiveros and Ivan DeJesus and Mike Tyson, the second baseman, Larry Bittner and Bobby Mercer and Jerry Martin and Mike Vail. And I pull those names off the top of my head, man. Like I am not looking down at anything when I talk about names like Thad Bosley. You know what I'm saying? Like the greatest pinch hitter I've ever seen in my life. So I kind of like had that thing, not to the grobber level, but to listen to somebody who, oh man, this guy loves talking about those 80s Cubs, man. Like just as a listener, you know, whether I was in, you know, probably in high school, you know, listening to Les, whether it was on LS or on The Score, and like, oh man, this guy kind of speaks my language. Yeah. Yeah. I want to know more about Steve Ontiveros' mustache and how Ivan DeJesus could throw the ball, but he couldn't hit a lick, you know? So like that attracted me to Les as a radio product and a radio personality. And then, yeah, and then all the personality. You know, that was hilarious. You know, I like, you know, like Greenberg. I think he and I have another thing in common. I love characters. I'm not just talking about on the radio. In life, I try to surround myself with characters. You should see some of my friends. They're characters. And so Les, like, embodies all of that. I love characters, and I love guys who take sports that seriously, which I know might sound ironic coming from me because sometimes I've had the reputation of, you know, going for the fun and the funny as opposed to the substance and things like that. But, man, I love the substance when it comes to Les Grobstein and getting into the minutiae and tracking all that. So I just, like, honestly liked the cut. And I knew he could be a goof. I knew all that kind of stuff. But at the core of it, I just liked the guy. You know, I liked him as a person, as a friend as he came to be, and as somebody who is listening to him. Yeah, you know, because he was such a character, you often separated it. You'd listen to Les like, okay, like he's just this entity as opposed to your friend or whatever the case, or whatever your relationship was. And when he was on the air, it was Les damn Grobstein, the character and the insider that we all know and love. And so when I was eventually, you know, fast forwarding through a lot of stuff, when I started working back full time at The Score, which was in 2010, I'd been working for WBBM radio for a lot of years as a reporter and anchor, all that stuff. And so I started doing what was then the Mully and Hanley show. It was the first time, you know, the show was putting together. They brought me in because they wanted to have, you know, they wanted somebody who could banter with the host and do a good update, which I did. And I ended up having a blast working with Mully and Hanley and Mully and Haw, you know, just being part of that show. But one of the things that I would do when I would come in, you know, get in there usually about 4 o'clock to prep for the show, you know, 4 a.m, and there'd be less doing a show, which I probably listened to walking in. And I don't even remember if Les asked me to come on or if I just opened the mic and started talking because I wanted to be part of the Mike Vail conversation. I don't remember what the case was, but I opened that mic up. I think it was probably like a little bit after 4, and we just talked for the next hour. And then it was so funny and so successful and so exactly what you would think listening to Les and I. If you know us, listening to us was kind of hilarious. It kind of was. And then we just started doing it every day. And every day I would make sure we made it a little more reasonable. I would jump on with him more like 4:20, 4:30. I wasn't going to do a full hour with him and hijack his show, even though I think he would have loved it if I had done 2 hours with him. But I come on.
No doubt about that.
Every day, and we had every moment that you could possibly have in terms of we laughed a lot. I pissed him off a few times. I don't know if Les ever. I don't think Les ever pissed me off. I don't think he ever did. I disagreed to the point of maybe anger towards him. You know, that good old fashioned sports anger that we're all entitled to. As
oh hell yeah!
Fans. Yeah. Exactly. But that took our relationship off the air and on the air to a different level just because we had a thing going on and we both knew it. And, you know, and oh, here were the rough ones, though. The rough ones were when I would host like an evening show at the Score and Les would come on after the show that I would host, maybe that was done at midnight. And we've had all sorts of different manifestations of evening times and shows and things like that. But Les would be coming in next and he'd say, hey, you mind sticking around for a segment? And then you know what would happen. 2 hours later, I'd be walking my ass home. So it was always worth it. Because it was fun, man. Like, it was just because it could go in any direction. We had a good chemistry. We both have distinct personalities. We both have distinct opinions. Les probably more so than I. He's the host. So, you know, it was kind of our relationship is kind of it was sort of meant to be, actually. Now, if you go back to, you know, my high school days and knowing him then or listening to him then it does make sense that I caught up with Les, as in, I don't mean career-wise, I mean just caught up with him in life, you know, and we became friends and had a lot of fun on the radio. So yeah, that's my relationship with him. Coming up next, we will bring in Mark Potash, another friend of Grobber's. Mark Potash, yeah, Potsy, covers the Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times, so we'll talk a little Bears with him too, but mostly I'd like talking a little bit of shop with Potsy, you know, Les and local radio and what it means to him, because we've had some good talks about that in the past. And oh yeah, Potsy and I can talk like 80s DePaul and things like that. That's another thing, man. I left that part out with Grobber. Not just the Cubs thing, man. I was like a crazy DePaul fan. Like, young Mark Grody was a crazy Dallas Comegys, Tyrone Corbin, Skip Dillard, Clyde Bradshaw, all those guys. And Les spoke the language. So it was meant to be. Got to take a break. It's Score Overnight on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.